reports by Water Board Chair and Board Members. Mr. Pumphrey, we will start with you.
Just one last reminder that the Sierra Water Summit is going to be held on August the 10th in Kings Beach. This is a joint project between the California State Bar Environmental Law Section and the Sierra Water Work Group, and what we did was we polled all of the Sierra Irwins and asked them to give us what they thought was their most pressing water concern, and we got the results of that and broke that down into groundwater, surface water, in-stream flow issues, and then also challenges to disadvantaged communities in attaining clean drinking water. And so we're bringing up a group of attorneys, mostly from the Sacramento area, and they're going to sit down and give some background as to sort of a contextual understanding of these issues that were posed by the Irwins. And that's everybody's going to break into facilitated working groups and talk about these ideas with the assistance and the counsel of the people for the Environmental Law Section. And then everybody's going to come back together, and the goal is to create a working strategy for the Sierra Irwins to come up with some ideas about how to protect Sierra waters and then how to carry that forward. So it's really an exciting idea. It's highly interactive. And instead of just people giving talks about topics, it's going to be just really everybody's going to have an opportunity to work together to try to come up with some ideas that can be carried forward in the communities in the Sierra to organizations like this one here and also to Sacramento. So if you want further information and registration information, it's available on the Sierra Water Work Group website. The registration is extremely reasonable for the full day and lunch, and we hope to see a lot of people there. It's an exciting challenge.
Thank you for that update. Mr.
Dice? No report. Thank you.
Dr. Horn?
A couple things. So as part of the internship I have in San Francisco, we recently went to view what's Recology, which is the employee-owned recycling center for the city of San Francisco. And I was extremely impressed to learn that San Francisco recycles 75% of its waste. It's huge. I think the average is like 30% or something nationwide. And the big difference there is really aggressive composting program where they're it's not just composting yard waste and like clean vegetables, which is what I always do before, but it's all food waste. So meat scraps, things that have been cooked, you know, all restaurant stuff, all that's getting composted. So that makes a big difference in the amount of recycling that they can do in San Francisco. And we went to look at the chain where all the incoming recycling material gets sorted, and I tell you what, I am going to really think twice from now on before I make a note on a little piece of paper, because there's just, I mean, you just kind of see the mass of stuff and it's flying all over the place. And the worst thing is flexible plastic bags of any kind, they just gum up, they have to shut the line down repeatedly during the day and clean it up, clean out stuff, and also take out stuff that people put in recycling that doesn't belong. And the other interesting thing I've learned is that every municipality has a different approach to what it is they recycle. So Berkeley recycles is different than what Oakland recycles is different than what San Francisco. So you have to know what each municipality is accepting to recycle, and also they change it repeatedly. So I've learned a lot about recycling, and know that I have to actually read the little flyer that comes about what, you know, where I am, what they actually take in recycling. So, yeah, it was a very eye-opening experience. I also, since I have the floor, I just want to thank Mr. Pumphrey for arranging this water summit. I'm going to have to reschedule something. I'm going to try very hard to attend.
Mr. Jardine?
Just two quick items. I want to note that next Wednesday, I understand the Carson Water Subconservancy District is planning on a tour of the Leviathan Mine. I don't know to what degree. It's Ed James that communicated with me regarding that, and just wanted to make that out there. And I'd like to thank all the agencies that responded to the Washington fire out of Markleyville that burned almost 17,000 acres. Everyone did in the initial attack to the very end, and it's all not over quite yet, but they did a wonderful job, and it burned within almost 3 miles of Markleyville. So there's no mandatory evacuation, but we did move some stuff out. We did a great job.
I'm glad you were staying. Mr. Sandello?
Nothing from me.
Actually, if you don't mind, I certainly wanted to add something. So, part of the reason I wanted to talk about composting is because, particularly in the southern part of our region, we're getting a lot of projects to build composting facilities. And I know that the state board is looking at a new order for composting facilities statewide. So it would be timely to hear from you about that policy. Thanks.
And for the chair's comments, I participate in the monthly chair's calls. There's been some hearty conversation recently about maybe modifying the structure of those calls so we can kind of develop a working group where perhaps we can have some input on policy. I know this has been discussed for a couple of years now. We're hoping that the state board would be receptive to input from the regional boards. I have a draft agenda for WQCC that's coming up October 12th and 13th, if you could put it on your calendar. And I'll give this copy to Sue and ask her to email the draft out to all of you. At the last chair's call, I did request that a conversation be added to this draft about kind of modifying the chair's calls as well as the input from the regions on policymaking at the state level. So Sue will get this draft sent out to all of you. And that's all I have. So, Dee Dee, can we give the floor to you? We're so glad you're here. We would love to hear from you about your great work you're doing.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I don't get to be here as often as I'd like. And first of all, just want to thank you for the rain.
That was because of the field trip this morning.
Right. It always happens that way. So I'd like to brief you on a number of items, one of them being compost. So our Division of Water Quality has been just really busy moving items, clearing items out that they have been working on for a number of years. Many of these items they had been working on even before my time and joining on the board. So it's been an exciting time to finally see some of these policies move forward. It's been difficult because our calendars, truthfully, have been dominated by the drought. And so we've got our Division of Water Rights that's really busy working on the drought, and then a Division of Water Quality trying to move some of these policies through finally. So first of all, we adopted the trash amendments to address trash and waterways. This is an amendment. It's called an amendment because it amends the ocean and inland surface, enclosed bays, and estuary plans. And implementation of the trash amendments is through stormwater updates. So it's through the permits that anyone that has a stormwater permit now has this additional compliance with trash. And in particular, what this measure does is similar to a lot of the measures that we've been working on, and that is it provides for a flexible approach. So we have a track one approach, which is requires a full capture devices in storm drains in priority areas. And this would be areas where there's a high generation of trash, areas where there's greater density. There's a formula that's included in the amendments. And then there's also track two, which would allow for a combination of full capture. These would be storm drain full capture devices or a combination of structural controls and institutional controls. So trash cleanup programs, outreach programs, multi-benefit projects, LID projects, anything that the municipality would be able to show would provide an equivalent level of protection that you would get in a program that uses the Track 1 full capture devices only. So that's the trash amendments. Then in June, we finally wrapped up an order on LA's MS4 permit, in large part approving LA County's stormwater permit. And this is relevant to all the regions because, as you may know, when petitions come before our board, does not take up all petitions. We only take up those where there's an issue of statewide significance that we feel that it's an appropriate issue for us to review and rule on. And so this order does act as a precedential order. In LA County, it affects 84 municipalities, and the focus of this permit, somewhat similar to what I just mentioned on trash, it does provide for additional flexibility. So there's, you know, one track that can be taken and then another that incentivizes for stormwater capture, low-impact development, and management of stormwater as a significant resource for water supply, urban greening, and wetlands. So it is our strong desire. Board Member Pumphrey, you talked about integrated regional water management planning, and this all fits in with what we've been talking about at the state level and regional boards for, you know, decades now. So it's an exciting opportunity, I think, for all of the regions to be looking at LA's program and seeing what can be done to implement something similar in the various regions. Our industrial stormwater permit, the effective date of the permit, I don't recall the date that this was adopted, but now it's, you know, being rolled out as far as implementation. The effective date of the permit is July 1st, but we've had a additional time that we're providing for electronic submittals. So those that have to comply with industrial stormwater have until August 14th to comply with the submittals. And also on stormwater, our staff is now busy working on a strategic plan, kind of looking at all these different stormwater permit actions that we've been taking. And so the idea here is to better improve the stormwater program, standing back, looking at the big picture, looking at integrated regional water management planning, and how we can better integrate across all programs for stormwater, the watershed management approach, looking for multi-benefit solutions wherever possible, where we can treat stormwater and encourage treatment of stormwater as a valuable resource, particularly understanding its value in our package of actions for drought resiliency in California. And so the idea here is to look at what are the challenges, and this would probably be, you know, a really good area for the regional boards, for whether it's through WQCC, the chair's calls, the executive officer's calls that you have also, you know, trying to figure out a way to better, you know, I think there seems to be agreement about these multi-benefit projects and integration of stormwater, but what are the challenges? what are the challenges with, you know, from getting to the goal. And so the purpose behind this strategic plan is to come up with, you know, a whole suite of areas, regulatory and non-regulatory, to move in this direction. Compost. On August 4th, we will be our board will be considering the adoption of a general order for composting operations. I'm not in a position to talk a lot about it, so I'll just talk process, because since this is before us in August, I'm subject to ex parte, you know, communication restrictions. So we could go ahead and post it, post the communication if you want to have a dialogue about it, but I'll just tell you the basics about it, and we'll decide, you know, if you want to have a further follow-up discussion about it. So the idea here is to streamline the permit process. Right now, the regional boards are having to grapple with this, and this is a permit that's been delayed for quite some time. It's taken quite a bit of time to finally adopt it, and the challenge has been sort of that friction between wanting to move in a direction where we're seeing increased recycling, increased use of compost. We now have, at the highest level, the governor is very interested in healthy soils, so we have at the administration a healthy soils initiative, and the idea there is to figure out what role does compost play with healthy soils, you know, as soil amendments in order to improve soil health. Composting, if done right, can retain a significant amount of water, as much as, from what I understand, 30%. So it can also be play a valuable role with drought resiliency. But compost comes with water quality impacts. The leachate that comes out of the composting operations. And so this general order, the focus, again, similar to what I was talking about with some of the other orders, we have two tiers, Tier 1 and Tier 2, and it depends on the more stringent requirements are in Tier 2, and what triggers Tier 2 is the size of the composting operation and also the feedstock that's used. So I'd encourage you to look at the website, and we do have that opportunity August 4th for public comment at the hearing. And now moving into, let's see here, I'm going to move things around. Oh, before going into drought, I'd like to mention, really want to thank Executive Officer Kamujian and staff for all of your work on GRAP. So this was and continues to be an effort of looking at how best to regulate grazing operations and impact on water quality. And this region took the lead in pulling together a series of stakeholder briefings, and it was rough going. We got a big pushback from the ranching community in California. And they pressed at all levels, really even going to their legislators, saying that this really needs to be done, you know, on a voluntary basis and at the regional level. And so I think that, again, complimenting you all for your work and the staff's work and Patty's work on this, really being responsive to what we heard and the requests that we work more closely with the ranchers on their voluntary program and give them an opportunity to try and get the numbers up on that voluntary program. So what we've done now is we're shifting from more of a statewide regulatory approach to bringing a resolution before the board. We're in the process of working on that and closing this out. Not saying that nothing's going to be done, but now moving into another direction. And that direction would be regulation at the regional level and also us really working toward a better collaborative relationship with the ranchers on their voluntary program. So I've, in fact, just spoke at California Cattlemen's Association and basically delivered the message to them that it's time for them to step up now on that voluntary program. It's been a while since it was put together, so they say they are committed in collaboration with the regional boards and also the NGO community to look at what can be done to improve the existing voluntary program. But also reminding them that this doesn't mean that there's no regulation. If we don't have a statewide program, it's up to the regional boards to determine, you know, what works best in those regions. And then earlier this week, we adopted, I know there's not a lot of fracking going on here, but in other parts of the state, we were directed by the legislature to put together a groundwater monitoring program. So we have two components. It's a regional groundwater monitoring program, and then also a site-specific program for the industries that are involved in well stimulation activities. And I'm just really pleased to say that our staff did a terrific job on that for an issue that's been fraught with a lot of controversy at our adoption hearing and our workshop. We had environmental groups and industry providing constructive advice and suggestions. We didn't have any protests. We didn't have anyone saying that we should be involved in a moratorium, which in many other settings, that's been the focus. So I was just really pleased at our staff's ability to keep people focused on groundwater protection and what needs to be done. Okay, shifting over to drought. We did adopt a desalination amendment to provide for standards for desal facilities. Last year, we adopted a recycled water general order that didn't get used much. We thought that it would get used, and we've learned from those that would like to use it that it wasn't user-friendly enough. And so staff is looking at updating the recycled water general order in order to provide for recycle a sort of a streamlined approach using recycled water for Title 22 uses, which would be agricultural irrigation, outdoor irrigation, and other uses. And then I'd like to, I know I've got a lot to give you here, and I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I'd like to update you on our urban conservation regulation and some of the good things that have been going on in this region. So as you all know, when the drought started a couple of years ago, the governor called upon all Californians to reduce our use and to provide for voluntary reduction, voluntary conservation efforts by 20%. Our board adopted last year, we adopted a regulation for urban water suppliers. And so this involved 400 water suppliers throughout the state, and the only thing mandatory about it was that they had to report on the activities that they were involved in to encourage their customers to conserve. Many of them did have mandatory provisions like 2 days a week for outdoor watering and that sort of thing. But it was up to the water supplier as to determine how best to move forward. And we could see that as a result of those efforts over the course of the year, that we really missed the target by a long shot. We only ended up with about a 9% reduction statewide. And so this year, when the governor came out to the Sierras on that fateful day in April, when they measured the snowpack, basically not much at all, 5% average at that time, the governor immediately returned to Sacramento and issued the order that we have that the board institute a mandatory urban conservation regulation. And so we've adopted that regulation, and it was a little tricky because what do you do in areas that have already done a lot? So if you impose a 25% restriction on those areas, in 25% reduction, it would probably be, you know, unworkable. And then in other areas that haven't really done much, they could probably go 25% and then some. And so what we have is a tiered structure that places these water suppliers in various tiers that takes into account their past performance. And so they've placed into these tiers accordingly. The effect of these regulations, we won't know for another couple of weeks. because they went into effect in June of this year, and there's a little lag time in reporting. So this time next month, we will be receiving a report. But we can tell that Californians are already stepping up to the plate, because our numbers for May, which was still in that voluntary period, went way up. So in May, we had a statewide average reduction of 28.9%. And that brings the average up, just that one month, a huge increase brings the average up for the year from 9% to 11%. Now, May was a little cooler and wetter than what we would have normally seen in May, so we want to, you know, temper our expectations, but we really do believe that Californians are now taking this very seriously. And so far, we've seen 728,000 acre for the year, conservation of 728,000 acre feet, and the target to get us to 25% would be 1.3 million acre feet, which is enough to fill Lake Oroville. So a significant amount of water. And then by region, South Lahontan, a 21.8% reduction. And we also keep track of gallons per capita per day in that region, which, you know, in the inland areas where it's warmer climates, we usually see, you know, higher use, 119 gallons per capita per day. And then North Lahontan, huge increase, 38.4% reduction in use, 83 gallons per capita per day. And along with this, in May, we also saw an increase in complaints. If you're doing your job, you want your neighbors to do their job, and so the complaints have gone up statewide. We're keeping track of that on our website as well. And we've seen an increase in local enforcement, double the amount of enforcement actions as in the previous month. And then I have with me some specific examples in North Lahontan and South Lahontan as well that I can share with you on the break if anybody's interested in how their communities are doing. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions, if you have any questions. And again, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. Wonderful
report.
Any questions, Mr.
Powell? No, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Provide us with your EO report.